God's word for you, 1 Chronicles 5, verses 7 to 10. Their relatives by clans, as listed according to their genealogical records, Jael, the chief, then Zechariah, and Bela, son of Azaz, the son of Shema, the son of Joel. They lived in the area extending from Aroer to Nebo and Baal-Meon. To the east, they occupied the land up to the edge of the desert that extends to the Euphrates River, because their livestock had increased greatly in Gilead. During Saul's reign, they waged war against the Hagrites, who they defeated at their hands. Then they occupied the tents of the Hagrites throughout the entire region east of Gilead. This passage has three parts. First, the names of the chiefs, and then the region they occupied, and third, their most significant contribution to the possession of the land as commanded by God. As for the names of their chiefs, the records were kept and the more important names are here preserved. But since Reuben was taken captive by Tiglath-Pileser in the 700s, there was no need for additional detail if any Reubenites were to reappear after the time of the writing of Chronicles, some 250 years later or more. Those Reubenites would be able to supply what was missing. There seem to be three important chiefs listed here: Jael, the chief, and then Zechariah, maybe his son, and then Bela, who was the great-grandson of the Joel who was first mentioned back in verse 4. Now, the region that the tribe occupied was the area settled by all Israel during the final encampment before they entered Canaan. The upper half of the Dead Sea is roughly rectangular in shape. That half is a long 10-mile wide by 20-mile long from north to south section of the lake, with the River Arnon emptying into the eastern shoreline. And the lower half of the lake, extending in those days another 30 or so miles to the south, with the Salt Peninsula that juts into the center of the lake from the east that gives it its distinctive shape, which always reminds me of the silhouette of a man shouting. The village of Aroer sits above the gorge of the Arnon River on the north side of the gorge. From that landmark, the Reubenites occupied the land north to Mount Nebo, which is 10 or so miles from the northern shore of the lake. Baal-Meon lies between these up in the mountains of Abarim, which Moses says in Numbers 21, in the desert that faces Moab toward the sunrise. And the whole region towers above the Dead Sea on the eastern side, known simply here as the Plateau, or rather simply as the Plateau that's in Jeremiah 48:21. The Moabites pushed against Reuben in the days of the judges and of the kings. This is evident from the words of Isaiah, who talks about Nebo as part of Moab in Isaiah 15:2, as well as the fords of the Arnon in Isaiah 16, verse 2. But the Moabites the Reubenites simply spread out eastward, looking for pasture to graze their flocks and herds. During the reign of King Saul, Saul was king from about 1050 to 1010 BC, the Reubenites went to war against the Bedouins who shared the land with Moab, the group known as the Hagrites. They're mentioned in Psalm 83, verse 6. And that war will be described again later in this chapter in verses 19 to 22. But we'll note here that when the Reubenites claimed their spoils of war, they were content with the dwellings, which I think just means the tents, of the Hagrites. They occupied all the grassland on the plateau right up to the edge of the Arabian Desert, the one that extends eastward to the Euphrates River. Now, the Hebrew phrase in verse 10 for throughout the entire region is al kol panei, upon the whole face of. And this rare phrase occurs just four times in the Bible. It's in Genesis 19:28, where Abraham looks at all of the land around the Dead Sea rising in smoke after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in Genesis 41:56, when the famine of the seven lean years has spread across all the land of Egypt, here, when the Reubenites occupy all of the plateau to the desert of Arabia, and again in Ezekiel 34:6, in a prophecy about the people of Israel scattered over the whole earth with no shepherds looking after them. So the Reubenites had extended their land all the way to the river, or as far as they could up to the impenetrable sand dunes of Arabia, just as God had said. Where is this? In Exodus 23:31, I will establish your borders from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert to the river, that is the Euphrates. But Reuben was exiled to Assyria on account of their idolatry, as will be told in just a couple of verses, prostituting themselves to the gods of the peoples of the land, whom God had destroyed before them. If only God's people would remain faithful to God after his blessings come to them. It is the cruelty of the devil to attack us, whether we are up or down, elated or miserable, successful or defeated. He finds a way to tempt fallen mankind in every circumstance. He is the primary cause of sins in mankind. God permits these attacks on us. Why? Is it to find out how much we love him? Well, he already knows this. And testing us to find this out would be like testing school children in math to find out whether they want to learn math or not. It's not the right question. No, God permits us to be tempted so that we will see just how weak we are, just how lifeless our love and obedience can be. He wants us to understand that we are powerless to be righteous on our own. At the same time, he wants us to marvel and be in awe of our Savior, whose compassion covered the guilt of our sin with his own blood, and who also lived the holy, perfect, and blameless life God requires of us, and he did it all in our place. What a thrill to be loved by Jesus. What an honor to be shown through God's holy word that nobody is righteous apart from faith in Jesus, not even one, Romans 3:10 says. The enemy pursues me, he crushes me to the ground, he makes me dwell in darkness, Psalm 143 says, but Jesus Christ lifts us up one by one by one, purifies us through baptism and the preaching of the gospel, and sets us neatly and lovingly in the good pasture of the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. No matter what happens to us today, living as we do as strangers here, heaven is our home. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.